We finished learning some of the various prohibitions that occurred during the 3 weeks and the 9 days, Shavuot Shechalba. We're learning a new siman, which is entitled Din Erev Tisha B'Av, which primarily discusses the laws of the Sudos Hamafsekes, the last meal before the fast of Tisha B'Av. Of course, this is going to be referring to this upcoming Wednesday afternoon. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch tells us, he says, Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochel adam besud hamafsekes, she'ochel achar chatzos basar v'lo yishti yayin v'lo yochel shnei tafshilin. He begins by telling us some of the things that we're not supposed to do as far as the meal is concerned, certain dishes which should not be served during this last meal. First of all, he says it's achar chatzos, which is makes sense. If you're going to be fasting for 24 hours, you're going to have your last meal at 9 in the morning, like for a breakfast, you're going to fast almost 2 days. But nonetheless, halachically, that's what the Sudas HaMafsekes, it has to be anyway, after midday. And the things which a person shouldn't eat is, a person shouldn't eat meat, shouldn't drink wine, and also, it says, a person ought to prepare or cook Shnei Tavshilin, two dishes. And the Machaber continues and discusses some other areas, some other things which are things which a person should not eat. Now, when it says Shnei Tavshilin, the question is, does it mean two dishes, period, as far as food, or perhaps even by drinks? So it's brought down in the Shari Tshuva. It says, in the name of the Zera Emes, he writes, She'ein lishtos coffee or tea. Person's allowed to drink also coffee or tea, which a person maybe would want to do right before the fast. Give yourself a little bit of a jolt before the tinus. You're not supposed to do that by the Suda Hamafsekes. And then he quotes, he says, it's interesting that there are many people in Eretz Yisrael and other countries that they do drink coffee and tea by the Suda Hamafsekes. And he says it's very strange because after all, the Shulchan Aruch clearly says you're not supposed to have more than Shnei Tavshilin. It's supposed to be an extremely simple meal. So he says that it's possible that the reason why it's allowed is that when it says Shnei Tavshilin, it's only specifically referring to Achila Shnei Tavshilin, Dafka, food, of Lo Shtia. It's not referring to drinks. And therefore, perhaps when it comes to drinks, that's not considered to be an issue. Now, why is there this stringency over here about not eating meat for the Suda HaMafsekes? Strange, because we know that's something which we don't do anyway during the entire 9 days. But that's what the Mechaber says. Don't eat meat during this last meal on the 8th of Av. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us what's the significance of this. He says that there's a difference between us not eating meat during the 9 days and not eating meat by the Suda HaMafsekes. What is the difference? He says, when it comes to not eating meat for this last meal, Hainu Medina Deshas, it's something which is brought down in the Gemara itself that it's considered to be much more strict, that a person is certainly not allowed to eat meat at all. The Ilum Etzad Minhaga Asr Rosh Chodesh. However, our not eating meat for the 9 days is only using, it's only, but it is a minhag, it's a custom. And therefore, it's not as strong as this actual halacha, which says certainly 100% cannot eat meat by the Suda HaMafsekes. So the question is, if we're just having a meal, why are we being so strict over here? You have certain restrictions. What's the purpose of this meal? And why do we have certain foods you cannot eat? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us it's not just to be on a diet of some sort, but rather it's supposed to put us in a proper mindset. It says, Kedei l'harbos evel v'zikaron churban habayis v'itzdar elav. When a person eats this last meal, it sets the tone. And you're beginning to realize that in a few moments you'll be accepting a fast of Tisha B'Av, and what that entails is remembering the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and that will cause you anguish. So what we do in the situation, the environments we set ourselves up to be in, such as eating meals such as this, puts us in this frame of mind of the Churban HaBayis, and therefore you'll be able to accept the theme of the day better. Now the Ramah over here continues and he says, "V'af mamashkin acherim mimayt b'shtiyason." That not only do we try to minimize the amount of food that we have by this last meal to not even have two dishes? But he says also when it comes to drinking, what you're accustomed to drink, you should refrain from drinking as much by this Sud HaMasechet. And it's brought down, what exactly does it mean to minimize? He says, She'im ragulishtos misudar kosot. Let's say the Mishnah Berurah tells us you normally drink 4 cups of whatever you drink. So he says, when it comes to the Sud HaMasechet, to acknowledge that there's something unique about this meal and that we're focusing on the tragedy, yish tesholosh kosot. You should drink only 3. 3 cups. Now, the Mishnah Berurah then continues and says, not only are you not allowed to drink wine, but also the ein lishto shechar. A person's not allowed to have a beer, or you can't have a Budweiser at your Sud HaMasechet. No beer allowed, so you have to keep the keg closed. He says, however, im hu adam cholosh shari. If you're a weak person, and for some reason beer gives you strength, for whatever reason, I don't know how that strengthens a person, but nonetheless, that's permitted. Now, the question is, why are we so strict? One thing, wine, that's a certain halach which we follow this custom for the 9 days. Why is it so that this law also applies and continues with regard to beer? So the Shaar Tzion tells us the significance is what will happen if you drink. You drink, you get drunk. And what happens when you get drunk? Sheyishkach al yidei zeh churban habayis. Quoting the words of the Taz. That if you're not, if you're drinking to the point that you become intoxicated, then you're going to lose the focus of the theme of the day, which is, of course, remembering the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So these are some of the things that the person should be cautious about with regard to the Sud HaMasechet. However, again, that doesn't mean you have to starve yourself, as we're going to see next time, that of course you have a large meal before it, and then you take a break. Some people daven mincha, they take a break for a few moments, and then afterwards they have this more restricted meal, the smaller meal known as the Sud HaMasechet.